Today's daf is Be'ah Daf Lamed Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, 18 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a S'chus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaim Aharim Ben Fega, Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka, and Etam Malka Bas Miriam. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Miro Bas Ramosha, and today's daf is being learned as a schus for Hatzlocha b'chol ha'inyanim for David Moshe ben Mordechai Zev on his very special day. So we're continuing to discuss halachos related to Hilchos Yontif. Zok the Mishnah, ein shoyver nesacheres. You're not allowed to break a shard from an earthenware keli, ve'ein choytchen es aniyar, nor are you allowed to cut a piece of parchment, litzlois by moliach, to roast a salty fish. Rashi explains that when people salted fish, or roasted salted fish, there was a concern that if you put the fish directly on the proverbial stove, the heat of the stove may burn the fish. So chefs looked to make some sort of chatzitza between the fish and the stove. Like this, it would control the temperature a little bit. You're not allowed to cut an earthenware shard. You're not allowed to cut a little bit of parchment to create that thing that is going to separate the stove from the fish. The reason is because it's considered fashioning a keli. It's tikkun mana. Mesakin mana is one of the lamatas malachis. Even though you're doing it letzayr chaychol nefesh, still it's not okay. The Mishnah continues, ve'ein garfin tanur v'kirayim. You're not allowed to shovel a tanur and a kirayim on yontif. So it's talking about the tanur and the kirayim of once upon a time that again was made of earthenware, and it wasn't uncommon for part of the tanner and the kirayim to give in a little bit, and there would sometimes be big clumps of clay on the bottom of the oven. The normal, natural thing to do would be to shovel it out. If you shovel it out on yontif, it's not okay. Avo mechabshin, but what you are allowed to do is you're allowed to push it down, so like this, it won't interfere with the food that you're cooking and baking. You're not allowed to take two barrels, put them next to each other, so that you can put a kederi, you can put a pot on top of them. You're not allowed to use a piece of wood to support a pot. We'll see what that means. You're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick on yontif. For Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon said that you can. So a lot of random-ish halachas mentioned in the Mishnah, all related to Hilchos Yontif, and the Gemara is going to go through the entire Mishnah. So the Mishnah began, Ein shoyven as acheres, ve'ein choytchen as aniyar, litzlois bo'im bo'liach. You're not allowed to break a piece of earthenware, you're not allowed to cut a piece of paper, a piece of parchment, with the intention of using it so that you can put it on top of the stove underneath the fish, when you're roasting salty fish. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? And the Gemara gives the reason that we gave in the Mishnah, Mishum de Kamasakin mana, stikun mana, you're creating a keli. That's not something you're allowed to do. The Mishnah continues, ve'ein garfin tanur v'kirayim. You're not allowed to shovel out a tanur v'kirayim. Avo mechapshin, the Mishnah said, but if you want to squash it a little bit, that's something you're allowed to do. Zok the Gemara, tani Rab Chiya bar Yosef, kemed Rab Nachman. Rab Chiya bar Yosef told Rab Nachman the following braisa. The M.E. Efsha Lefois, the Braisa said that if it's impossible to bake, Elam Kein Garfoi, unless you're going to shovel it out, Mutter, in that case, it's going to be Mutter. Now Rashi's Medayik that the Mishnah never said what the Braisa said. The Braisa says, Ein Garfin Tanav Kirayim, but then adds a very important line, Vin E. Efsha Lefois, Elam Kein Garfoi, Mutter. If it's critical for you to be able to bake in the oven, you cannot use the oven functionally unless you shovel it out, then it's going to be mutter. The Mishnah simply said, the ein garfin tana v'kirayim. It sounds like from the Mishnah, from the fact that it didn't add the fine print of the e'ef shalefois elam kem garfin mutter, that even if it's e'ef shalefois, still the halacha is, it's going to be us. So Rashi said, what would be the svaras hamachloikis between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Says Rashi, it's Tali in the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. When the Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein bein yontif l'shabbos, ella oichol nefesh bovat. On yontif, you're allowed to do malachas oichol nefesh. What about machshirei oichol nefesh? Is that okay or is that not okay? So Rashi, if machshirei oichol nefesh is mutter, so then you would be allowed to be goyreif a tanavikirayim. If you need it. If you don't need it, then no. But to the extent that you need it, then it's something that you'd be allowed to do. If you hold that machshirei oichol nefesh is not mutter on yontif, then it doesn't matter that you need it. You're not allowed to get involved in any melacha that's not nogeya directly the food, but it's nogeya the oven. But the point is that the Mishnah that says ein garfen tana v'kirayim and doesn't say that it's mutter if it's critical is going aliba de rabbanon who argued with Rabbi Yehuda who hold ein ben yontif l'shabbos ella oichel nefesh bovad but not machshirei oichel nefesh. As a result, you can never be goyrif, a tad of a kirayim, even if you need to do it to be able to cook and to be able to bake. That makes a machshirei yoichol nefesh. Machshirei yoichol nefesh is not mutter anyantiv. The brayson that says, v'im ef shalefois elim ken garfoy mutter, zok rash in two words, k'rebi Yehuda. That's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds machshirei yoichol nefesh as mutter, and therefore this is going to be mutter as well. Zok the Gemara, devisu de Rabchia's wife, nafala aricha betanura, b'yayim etava. So she was cooking on yantiv, and then a brick from her tanner fell into the oven. So Rabbi Chia went to his wife and said, "Chazi da'ano riftem al yaso be'ina." So he said, FYI, I want you to know that I want to eat really, really good bread. I don't want bread that's made in a bidyevet tanner. I want bread that's being made in a good tanner. And this seemed to have been a roundabout way for Rabbi Chia to tell his wife that I want you to be goyreif. I want you to clean up the oven. Amalei Rava l'shamoy. Rava told his gabe, Tavili avza. I want you to make me a goose on Yontif, the Izdar Mecharucha. And then he said, just make sure that the tanner is completely clean, meaning there shouldn't be any debris of the tanner on the floor. Again, he was telling him in a roundabout way that I want you to go and clean the oven. It's a little mashma from these two stories that the Gemara brought, Rabbi Chia and his wife, Rava and his Gaba, that they held like Rabbi Yehuda. That machshiri yoichol nefesh is mutter, so that im ef shalefois elim ken garfoy, it's mutter to do the grufa. Which we just said is really totally in the machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It would seem that these amiram may be held like Rabbi Yehuda. At first glance, you would think we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. You paskin like the Chachamim, so maybe this is something we'll get to in the next few days. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina told Rav Ashi, Amra lon Rav Acha mihutzel. I heard from Rav Acha mihutzel, the mar, that the Rebbe, Rav Ashi, sharken le tanura b'yayim atava. He has avodim that smear the tanur with mud. The reason that that was done, Rashi says, was because it helped the tanur contain the heat. But the point is, so Ravina tells Rav Ashi rather surprisingly, he said, Rav Achim Herutzel told me that Rav Ashi, you have people that are doing this for you on Yontif. Now, what's the big deal? So Rashi says that what was bothering Ravina was that Ravina thought that they were actually making the mud on Yontif. Now, making mud involves taking dirt and water, mixing it together, kneading it together, which Rashi says is a tolda of lisha. It's lush. You're not allowed to knead on Yontif. It's one of the lamentas malachas. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, I heard that this is what you do. Is that true? Amalei, so he told him, no. I have to tell you the rest of the story. You didn't get proper information. Anana raksa de parasam chinon. Meaning it's true. We do take mud. My chever do that for me. And they smear the tanner to contain the heat. This is important in the cooking. But at the same time, they take the mud from Nahar Paras. And being that they take it from Nahar Paras, that mud was ready made. Meaning it wasn't necessary to do any lisha with it. And as a result, it doesn't involve any malacha. Tahani mili. But then Rav Ashi said, the only time this is good is the tzair miyasmol, if it was prepared from before Yontif. But if it wasn't prepared from before Yontif, then you'd have a muktzah problem, then you wouldn't be able to do it anyways. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, the kit mashari, if somebody wants to take ashes, not offer, but rather afer, and mix it together with water, that's not a problem, because that's not lush. It's not something that is considered kneading when you mix it together. Only certain objects that have a certain consistency are subject to the laws of lush. So he said, kitma, which means ashes in Aramaic, that's something that if you mix together with water, wouldn't be a problem. So going back to the Mishnah, the ein makif in shtei chavios lisvas alena sakdei. You're not allowed to take two barrels, put them next to each other, if the intention is to put a pot on top of them. So you want to have a pot on top of a platform. So you take two chavios, old school, you put them next to each other. On top, you put the kedera. Now you have the kedera on a little bit of a lift. You cannot do this on Yontif. Now, why can't you do it on Yontif? So Rashi says in the Mishnah that the reason you're not allowed to do it on Yontif is because you're creating an oil. It's mechsi ka'ahala. looks like you just created a structure. In fact, the two chavios, or the two walls, the k'tera that's on top is now going to be the covering on top. You're not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make an oil on Yontif, even though there seems to be an oichel nefesh component here. But still, this is one of the malachas that even though there is a tzad oichel nefesh, still you're not allowed to do it. So, the Gemara, I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Avonim shal beis hakiseh mutal letzadadam beyontif. So, back in the day, before there were toilets, so when people would go to the beis hakiseh, they would take stones. The Gemara talks about these stones in different places, in different contexts, and they would put them side by side, and the person would sit on top of the stones. So, Rav Nachman said, you're allowed to do this on yontif. You're allowed to take the two stones, put them side by side, and then, you know, sit on top of it. It's not a problem of making an oil. You're not allowed to take these two barrels, put them next to each other, if the purpose is to put a keter on top. So what's the difference if you're putting two barrels next to each other, you're going to put the keter on top, or you're taking two avonim, putting them next to each other, and then you're going to sit on top. So Rav Nachman told Rav, what he means, very different. The only reason there's an issue over there is because there's an oil, because there's a roof. The keter is the roof. But over here, I just put two avonim next to each other. There's no roof on top. Sitting on top of it is not an oil, and as a result, there's no oil over here. Amalei Rabba Zuti l'Ravashi. So Rabba Zuti asked Ravashi, Elamiyata, did Rav Nachman just say that the only time there's a problem to be boina on Yontif is if there's an oil? Meaning, you're allowed to create some sort of structure as long as there's no oil? Only if there's a roof, oil is a big deal in a lot of sugyas and shas. Toma v'tahayra comes up in different places, but boina requires an oil? Meaning you're allowed to build something as long as there's no roof? Elamayata, boina itztaba b'yantif. If somebody would make an itztaba on yantif, a chair or a bench, the loy avid ahala, there is no oil. Hachinami d'shari, so you're going to tell me it's mutter? That's a very, very big chiddush. Baina has nothing to do with oil. Amalei told him, awesome over there, binyan keva as retire. Binyan aray, lay as retire. If someone builds an itztaba, of course it's a problem. You know why? Because that's a real binyan. It's a binyan kavu. It's a permanent structure. A permanent structure is asam edei raisa. If it's asam edei raisa, it's a problem, even if there's no oil. However, our Mishnah, and Rav Nachman's case, for sure isn't a binyan kavua. Taking two stones, putting them next to each other, that's like building a wall. It's not building a house. Taking two chavios and putting them next to each other, that's not a boina midairai. So what is it? It's a binyan aroi. Oh, binyan aroi is different. When it comes to binyan aroi, lo yasr taira. That's not asam midairai. Because Rabbanah binyan aroi, mishum binyan keva. And the Rabbanah will go on binyan aroi, mishum binyan keva. So over here we could be makel already. So when it comes to the two chavios, where you're going to put the keter on top, where there's an oil, so that's something Chazal didn't want you to do. But the hacha over here, where there's no oil, and it's mishum kvaidai, there's an issue of kavod abrius as well. Like Gazar Barabbanan, over here, the Rabbanon weren't guys. So it's true. If this was a real binyan, if this was a real structure, then the fact that it's not an oil would not be a mitigating factor. It would have absolutely nothing to do with the halacha. But being that we're not dealing with the real issue anyways, and there's no oil, and there's a question of kavod abrius, so there's a whole bunch of different factors. It's for that reason Chazal felt that we should not be machmir. Rav Yehuda said, Hai madurta. So if somebody makes a bonfire, so Rashi says, three lines from the bottom, Hesed Gadol, this was a very large fire, She'osin lefnei sarim, that was made for important people, Kederech binyan, and it was made like a binyan, meaning, Oisin like Solom Midalad Ruchais, there were four walls, the Sidon Eitzel Lamala, and there was even a roof on top, all made of wood, the Daimala Oil. So it looks a little like a structure. Really, all it is a big fire. But this fire had a lot of wood, and the wood was stacked in a way where it looks like you just made a sukkah, you just made some sort of hut. It looks like a binyan. There's even a roof which has an oil. So Rav Yehuda said that if you want to make this on Yontif, you can. However, do it with a shinoi. So he said, "Hai madurta milmata lemata shari milmata lemala asa." Don't make the four walls and then put the roof on top. But rather, what you should do is make the roof and then hold the roof up as you make the four walls. If you do it backwards, you do it milmala lemata. So that's already kalachian. In that case, it's going to be okay. V'chein beyasa. He said the same is true for an egg. Rashi says if you want to put an egg on a tripod, Lashon Rashi, if you want to put an egg on a tripod, don't have the tripod and then put the egg on top if you want to roast the egg. First have the egg, put the tripod underneath it. The same is true if you have two chavios, you want to put them side by side like in the Mishnah's case, and you want to put a kedera on top. Don't put the chavios and then the kedera. The Mishnah said you can't do that. But if you put the kedera first and then you put the chavios, that's going to be okay. V'chein purya, if you're making a bed, don't make the sides of the bed and then put the top of the bed on, but do it backwards. V'chein bedelas, the same is true. V'chein bechavisa, same is true for a barrel. If you're stacking up a bunch of barrels, so you shouldn't stack two and then put a third on top. Take the one that you want to put on top first, hold it, put the other ones on bottom. The point is, this is not a real boina problem. It's only a derabana. And therefore, Chazal said, if you do it with a shinoi, then it's going to be okay. Going back to the Mishnah, the ain't soimchen es akedera bivikas v'chein bedela. So you're not allowed to take a piece of wood and use it to support a keder. Now this is yontif. On yontif, wood is not mukta. Yontif, everyone holds. You're allowed to use wood. The question is, if something is not a conventional type of wood, Shivrei Kalim, right? There's a bunch of different cases that Chazal discuss. But high level wood, of course. Shabbos is mukhsa. What are you going to do with one on Shabbos? But on Yantiv, where Melech is like Nefesh is Mutter, it's not going to be okay. So what the Mishnah is saying is that if you want to take a Bekas, you want to take wood, and you want to use it to support a Kedera, that's not okay. And then the Mishnah said, V'chein Bedeles. Now the Gemara understands, V'chein Bedeles means that if you want to take a Deles and use the Deles to support the Kedera, that's also not okay. Meaning, you can't support the ketera with wood. You also can't support the ketera with a delas. That doesn't even make sense. What it means is just like you can't use a bekas to support a ketera, you also can't use a bekas to support a delas. So we don't mean the delas supporting the ketera. We mean the bekas supporting the delas. Tanu Rabbanan, a braisa that explains this halach. Ein soimchen es hakedera bevechas v'chein. Not the gersa we had in our Mishnah, but rather the edited gersa. V'chein hadelas, not bidelas, but hadelas. Why? What's the reason? So the Mishnah didn't say the reason. Not shockingly, the braisa talks more than the Mishnah does, and the braisa does give a reason. The reason is because even though wood is not mukta on yantif, but this is a very big chiddush that's going to repeat itself now a few times in the Gemara, and that is the wood is only not mukta lehasaka. So if you want to use the wood for fire, it's not mukta and hachinami. But if you want to use the wood for something else, even something as innocent as just using it to support a kedera, in that case the halach is it's not going to be okay. Reb Shimon Mater, Reb Shimon's Mater. Who's Reb Shimon? It's easy. Reb Shimon, who's makel by mukta, holds it's not a problem. Meaning, at its core, this is a mukta shayla. You have wood, which is not mukta. It's not mukta because melech es eichel nefesh is mutter, and therefore it's very normal to take wood and use it for a fire. That's the way people made fires. So you want to now go and use the wood for something else. So the question is, I'm taking something that on Shabbos is mukta, something that traditionally is mukta, but now because melech es eichel nefesh is mutter, it's not. So can I use it even for something else? The Tana Kam in this braisa says no. Reb Shimon says, yeah, oh, Reb Shimon l'shitasa, he was always mekel a mukta. So he's mekel here as well. The Mishnah continued and said, ve'ein man higen es abehema b'makel b'yotem. You're not allowed to take a stick and use it to lead an animal on yotem. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon mater. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon says that it's mutter. Now, at first glance, says the Gemara, leimo Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, ke'avu asvira le, the less le mukta. So the Gemara says, now that we just had the previous braisa, and what do we see in the previous braisa? Machloikis Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Whether nitnu eitzim elo lehasaka or loy nitnu eitzim elo lehasaka. Meaning, is a person allowed to use wood on yontif for something other than fire? If you're islay mukta, the answer is no. Reb Shimon, who's leslay mukta, holds, yeah. So, probably that's the machloikis, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, and the Tanakama in our Mishnah as it relates to taking a wooden stick and using it to fear an animal. The Tana Kama holds no. You know why? Because even though a wooden stick is not mukta, it's only not mukta if you want to take it and throw it into a fire, but if you want to use it for something else, it's a problem. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon was matter, because who's Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon? He's Reb Shimon's son. Stam Reb Shimon in Shas is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, when he was in the Ma'ara for 12 years and then another year, he was there with his son, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. So Reb Elazar Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon's son. It's a very good shmak. It's the same exact machlokes. Whether, like, Nitnu Eitzim Allah Hasaka, you don't say, like, Nitnu Eitzim Allah Hasaka, the Marsa's lie. Because Baha, Fidel Reb Shimon might, could be even Reb Shimon, who's less like Mukta, would hold that you're not allowed to take a stick on Yontif and lead an animal. There's a whole other issue, Mishum, the Mexi command the Azalachingo, because it looks a little bit like you're doing business with this animal. You're outside, you're whipping your animal, looks a little bit like you're leading it to the shuk, you're onto something that really you're not supposed to do on Yontif, and it's for that reason it could be, even though Reb Shimon is lasley mukta, this would be a problem. Meaning, if the only issue at hand is a mukta issue, then anochinami. But over here, maybe there is more of a problem than simply mukta. Chizra. So what's a chizra? Rashi says, anaf eitz This is a branch, shehuchad kekoitz. That's very, very pointy, like a thorn. V'ra'oi l'takoi betzli. And even though this wood was usually used like most wood, which was firewood, but at the same time, because it's so pointy, this can be used as something else as well. And that is, you can use it to roast food, kemin shfut. Treat it like a spit. So here's the question. You have this chizra, which was naturally used to fuel a fire. I now want to use it as a spit. Still, the melechas eichel nefesh. The question is, can I use an anyantiv or can I not use an anyantiv? Rav Nachman said no. Rav Sheshe said yes. If this was a moist spit, everybody would hold it's awesome. Because being that it's moist, so really, you can't use it even to fuel a fire. So this whole piece of wood is questionable. It might be muktzah. So now you want to use it for something else? For sure, that's not going to be okay. Keep ligi the machlokes was biabesht if it was dried. Man, the one that says also amal chalim in the way smell of lahasaka. He says that it's true that eitzim is not muktzah yantiv, but like nitnu eitzim el lahasaka. For asaka, it's not muktzah. But if you want to use it for something else, it's not going to be okay. Man, the shari, the one that says muta amal chalim is going to tell you mali litzleis by mali litzleis begachaltai. What do you mean like nitnu eitzim el lahasaka? Think about it. You're allowed to take the wood, throw it into the fire. I mean, if you use the fire as coals, that's okay. But to use it as the spit for the same fire, for the same purpose, for the same cooking, that's already not a problem. So what does it mean? Like nindu etzam la'asaka. Therefore, he said it's going to be most. In other words, the Amiram argued whether you say this svar like nindu etzam la'asaka or you don't say like nindu etzam la'asaka. When the Gemara brought this machlekes originally, it sounded like maybe it's a machlekes Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda. The Manda Amar that's Islay Mukta holds like Ninu Eitzim El Hasaka. Reb Shimon who's less like Mukta doesn't hold of like Ninu Eitzim El Hasaka. But now we see it's really a Machlokes Amiram. Amiram are not arguing in the Machlokes Tanam, Luchura. But either way, that's not the Gemara was a Machlokes Reb Sheshes and Reb Chizdas. And Reb Nachman Zok. The Gemara, Ikadami, some had a different version of this. Bia Beshto, if the Chizra is dry, Kulam al-Pik of the Shar, everybody would hold its mutter. Keep leaking. The machlekes was beretifta if it's wet. Man, the asar, the one that says it's a problem, like chazi lahasaka, you can't use it for anything. This is real mukta. Man, the shari, the one that says it's mutta, amalacha, he's going to tell you, chazi lahasaka, you can use it for a big fire, as we've seen a few times in Masech Tesbeya, that even a wet piece of wood, which is not really good for your traditional fire, but if you have a hesed gadol, it's going to heat up the piece of wood, eventually it's going to be okay. Therefore, it's not muktzah hilchasa. What's the halacha? Yabesh the shari. If it's dry, it's mutter. Retif to aser. But if it's moist, it's going to be aser. Darash rava. Isha loiti konitz ladira etim. A woman, on yontif, is not allowed to go into the room where they store wood. Lito mehen ud. To take a piece of wood, if the purpose of the piece of wood is to use it as a spit. Meaning, if the purpose of going in to take the wood is to take the wood and throw it into the fire, that's going to be mutter. But if you want to use it for something else, then it's not going to be okay. Why not? Rashi, v'tayma mishun d'loi nitnu elo lahasaka. Because again, loi nitnu eitzim elo lahasaka. Rashi says, had it been prepared before yontif, it would be okay. But otherwise, it's not going to be okay. So again, this idea of loi nitnu eitzim elo lahasaka keeps on repeating itself. V'uchen nishbar, if you have this spit that broke, osu lahasika v'yontif, you're not allowed to use it as fire on yontif. This is Rava talking. So Rava said, you have a spit. On yontif, it broke. You were planning on using it not as fuel, but then it broke. So what are you going to do with it now? Throw it into the fire. Aser. Lefisha masikim bekelim. Because you're allowed to use kelim on yontif, but the aim masikim b'shivrei kelim. You're not allowed to use shivrei kelim. Now, what would be the problem with using shivrei kelim? Mukta. Zokti gemal. Maybe the Rava grab you the sphere. Sounds like Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This lay mukta. Who holds a mukta? We saw this in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yehuda holds he can use shivrei kelim for a fire because it's mukta. In the beginning of yontif, it wasn't oimei to be used for a fire. It was a good keli, throwing a good keli into the fire. Now it became shivrei kelim. That's telling the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, whether you have mukta or no mukta. See, you're telling me Rava holds of Rabbi mukta. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. V'amalei Rava the Rasham Moi. Rava told his gabe tavli bar abzo, bake for me a goose. V'shadi me'ay l'shunyu, and then take the intestines and give it to a cat. What's the problem? How are you allowed to take the intestines and give it to a cat on yontif? The issue is that before yontif, this Avza, this goose, was oimed l'achila zada. On yontif, you shachted it, and now you want to take the intestines, which are not roi l'achila, and you want to give it to the shunra. You want to give it to the cat. Being that betchilas hayontif, it was oimed l'achila zada, and now something changed on yontif, so that it's now oimed l'achilas behema, whether or not you can give it to the behema or not, is totally in the halacha mukta. And what's the parallel case? What's the precedent for this? An animal that dies on Yontif. In the beginning of Yontif, it was a healthy animal, and then on Yontif, it died. So machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether you can take the nevela, you can give it to the club. And Rabbi Shimon, who's lasleim mukta, says yeah. Rabbi Yehuda, who's islay mukta, says no. So says the Gemara, just like Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're not allowed to take the animal that dies on Yontif, that nevela. Why? Because it's muksa. So too, you shouldn't be able to take the intestines. Now, if Rava told this gabai, tovi li baravza, v'shadi maya l'shinra, so what does it mean he holds? He means he holds like Rav Shimon, he's less like muksa. So we have a stira in Rava. Here, Rava said, ein masikim v'shivrei kela. Sounds like he holds like Rav Yehuda. And here he said that you're allowed to take this nevela, quote unquote, and give it to a behema yantiv. Sounds like Rav Shimon. These are two of the classic examples of Shitas Rav Yehuda. Using Shivrei Kelim on Yontif and taking an avail and feeding it to the animals on Yontif. And Rava seems to contradict himself. But the Gemara says, no, it's really not a contradiction. Meaning, La'olam Rava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rava said, Ein masikim b'shivrei Kelim on Yontif. And that's why he said, an ud that was nishbar on Yontif, also la'asikai. If that's the case, how did Rava tell his gaba, when you make me and prepare my goose for me, take the intestines and give it to the Shunra? In the beginning of Yontif, it wasn't prepared for the Shunra, it was prepared for my Chaladim. The Gemara says a very obvious answer. It's very, very different. Over here, Rava knew he was eating this goose on Yontif. So if he knew he was going to eat the goose on Yontif, he knew he wasn't going to eat the intestines on Yontif. So he knew that he was going to give it to the animals. So even in Rabbi Yehuda's world, this was considered already Mukhan for the Shunra. As opposed to an animal that dies on Yontif, now you want to take the Nevela, you want to be Michael to the Klavim. It wasn't prepared for that before Yontif. So it wasn't prepared for that before Yontif. So therefore, that's going to be an issue. More along the same note. Rabbi Eliezer said, Noitel Adam Kisa Mishalafan. A person's allowed to take a splinter. He's allowed to take a piece of wood that's in front of him, lachzeis b'yishina, to use as a toothpick. U'megavev min ha-chatzer. Additionally, a person is allowed to gather wood from his chatzer, u'madlik, and use it as fuel for a fire. This is all of Yontif, of course. Shekol masha b'chatzer muchanu, because everything in the chatzer is muchan. So Rabbi Eliezer said two things. He said, number one, you're allowed to use a kisein as a toothpick. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer said, you're allowed to gather wood from the chatzer. Zok the Gemara, the Chachamim Oimrim, the Chachamim said, I disagree on both points. Number one, Megavev Mishalofan. If you want to gather things from the chatzer, that's not something that you're allowed to do. And number two, you want to use a kisem as a toothpick? You can't do that either. Umatlik. You can only use it for a fire. But for something else, no. And why? Not surprisingly, Rashi says, because again, the same idea that even though it's true, wood on Yontif is mutter, but loinitnu ela lahasaka, and being that this is not lahasaka, it's not going to be okay. So it sounds like, just from going through the Gemara, daf yomi dik, rather quickly, whether we say loinitnu etzem ela lahasaka first, was mashma, is maybe a machlekes Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, or the islay muktzah, or leslay muktzah. Then it sounded like it's a machlekes Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes. Now it sounds like it's a machlekes Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim. So obviously we have to take a step back and sort this out a little bit, but vein kamikoimai. Zok the Mishnah Vayter, ein moitzi nesa'ur. This next halacha is a very, very important halacha, something that we're going to get into, Be'ezus Hashem, in tomorrow's daf. And that is, you're not allowed to make fire on Yontif. So Melechus Eichel Nefesh is mutter on Yontif. But to make a fire that you're not allowed to do. In fact, the Mishnah says, Eim Maitzian Esaur, Lamina Eitzim, not from wood, Vlamina Avonim, not from stones, Vlamina Offer, not from dirt, Vlamina Eithim, not from tiles, Vlamina Mayim, not from water. Vlamina Avonim, so Ulysses Bemot, Dishli, you're not allowed to take a tile, heat it up if you want to roast on it. But the point is, you're not allowed to make fire on Yontif. And the truth is, at first glance, it's Sarachi and Gadol. Why not? What's the difference between cooking and making fire? When you think of Meleches Eichel Nefesh, the first things that come to mind is I'm allowed to cook and I'm allowed to make a fire. Now, just to be clear, even though this is really tomorrow's daf, is even though you're not allowed to make a fire, you're allowed to take an existing fire and create fire from it. What you're not allowed to do is make a fire yesh meyayin. That's not something you're allowed to do. The Makar is a Mishnah. It's the Mishnah that we just learned. It's the Sefer of the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. My time, that's the Gemara's Kasha on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis that we're going to see in tomorrow's Daf. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Oichle Behemo, Ein Behem Mishum Tikun Kli. So Rabbi Yehuda da Moira said a big halacha. He said, you're not allowed to make a keli on Shabbos you're not allowed to make a keli on Yontif. It's one of the Lamatas Malachis. It's the Malacha of Mesakin Mana. Stating that, said Rav Yehuda, that if you take something that's Meichel Behem and you make a keli from it, there's no Issa. It's Mutter on Yontif. It's even Mutter on Shabbos. Now, at first glance, it sounds like Sisrei Torah. What's the difference if I made the keli from whatever, or if I made it from Meichel Behema? So Rashi says the reason is because Meichel Behema, Rashi alludes to it, the Ran says it a little bit more clearly, is very, very soft. And because it's very, very soft, any keli that you're going to make from it is going to be a flimsy keli. It's going to be a shvache keli. And that's not the keli that the Torah said is included in the Malach of Makkah B'Patash. So to make a keli from Meichel Behema is like is a roundabout way of saying you're making a keli from something very, very insignificant. It doesn't have a kiyum, and as a result, it's going to be mutas. Again, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Oichle Behema, Meichel Behema, Rashi, could go in cash, straw, valley kanim, leaves of reeds, ein behem yishum tikkun kli, there's no problem of tikkun kli. So what would be an example? Rashi gives an example, and it's just a good example, because it's going to be the Gemara's example as well. Umuter liktoim uletaken kashal shibolim b'shabes lachzai shino. So if somebody wants to take shibolim, zangin, he wants to take a strand of wheat, you want to clip the top off and use it as a toothpick, if the material that we're using was some hard material, wood, chalila, to do something like this. But if you're doing it using Meichel Behema, such as straw or aleikanin, in that case, it's not going to be a problem, because like Rabbi Yehuda said, Oichle Behema, Ein Behem Bishum Tikkun Kli. Zoktimon, Esfer Rav Kahana L'Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kahana asked Rav Yehuda Kasha on his monumental chiddush, and his kasha that he asked him was from a brisa. This brisa is a Tosefta Masechet Shabbos. Again, this is related not just to Hilchos Yontif. This is related to Hilchos Shabbos as well. The brisa says, "Metaltel Atzei Besamim." A person is allowed to carry Atzei Besamim. Self-explanatory. Atzei are branches. Besamim of Besamim. Lo Riach Bem. If the purpose is to smell it, you can carry it on Shabbos. It's not mukta. Ula hanif ben l'chayla. Additionally, let it take it and wave it in front of a chayla. Apparently, there's some therapeutic quality in doing that. Umaylala, you're allowed to rub it. Umariach by and smell it. Rubbing the atzei besamim is going to cause the smell to come out a little bit more. That's something you're allowed to do. V'loyik temenu l'ariach by. However, you're not allowed to cut off part of it with the intention of it smelling better. So again, rubbing it would cause it to smell better, and clipping it would also cause it to smell better. So if you want to be moyle l'mariach bay, that's okay. But if you want to be kaitim l'mariach bay, that's not okay. V'im kitmai, let's say you did it, pater avalaser, meaning it's awesome at the rabbanon, but midday rice, it's not a problem. Lachzeis b'shinov, let's say you have this atzib samim, and you want to clip it, and the reason you're clipping it is you want to use it as a toothpick. Lo yik temenu, then the halacha is you're not allowed to. V'im kotmai, and if you do it chayiv chatos, you're going to be chayiv chatos. So Rav Kahana told Rav Yehuda, this brisa that I just quoted is not like your halacha. Why? The reason is because atzei besamim sometimes is very soft. And if atzei besamim is soft, it's technically like oichle behem. If oichle behem and behem meshumi took in kli, so how could the brisa say that if a person went and he took atzei besamim, which sometimes is soft, and you clipped it, lachzeis b'shinet, you made a toothpick out of it, chayiv chatos, chayiv koris, chayiv mises bezden, l'chura, oichle behema, emi mishum tekin kli. That was the kasha. Now, it doesn't say mefurish here, oichle behema, but the assumption is atzei besamim sometimes is oichle behema, sometimes it's hard, in which case it's not oichle behema, but sometimes it's soft, in which case it is oichle behema. Amalesi told him as follows. He remarked, he said, hashto potre avalosika kashali, chayiv chatos mi boyule. He said that had you found a brisa that says it's awesome the rabbana, it would have been a good kasha. Because I said it's mutter l'katchila. Oichle behema ein behem shum tekin kli. Sounds like you could do it l'katchila. Now that you found a brisa that says it's awesome the raisa, now I definitely have a problem. But then he told Rav Kahana, but at the same time, it's not a kasha. Eli kitanya, he, you have to make an akimta. The brisa is talking about pekashin. It's talking about where it was hard. If it's hard, it's not oichle behema. It's not oichle behema. So therefore, this is going to be tikkumana. But the Gemara says kasha b'nei melila ninu. It doesn't work in the brisa because the brisa says you can be moila. You can rub it. You can't rub hard atzei besamim. You can only rub soft atzei besamim. Okay. So the Gemara says chsurei mechsra. You're right. To make this work, we need to invoke a last resort, which is a chasure mechzer of a hachitani. This is the way you read the Bryce. Bryce again is talking about atzei besamim. Atzei besamim on Shabbos, moilu lo, you're allowed to rub it in marich, but you're allowed to smell. Koitma, you're allowed to clip it in marich, but you're allowed to smell. Bamed, varim amurim, berakin. That's if it's soft. And again, if it's soft, you're even allowed to be koitim it. Why? You're making a kid. No, because oichle behema imbishum taking clean, there's no problem. Aval bekoshin, but if it's hard, lo yiktemenu, you're not allowed to clip it. Vim kitmoi patra avalos. If you did it to smell it, it's only awesome in the rabbanu. If, however, you clipped it to use as a keli, that's a real tikkun mana. You can do vim kotme, and if you did do it, chayv chatis is going to be chayv chatis. More on this note. Tani chadu learned to the brisa kotme mireichbay. You let a clip a lekatchila if you want to smell. Tani we learned to another brisa loyik temenu lereichbay. You now let a clip a lekatchila. I'm Reb Zera. I'm Reb Chizda lekashin. Mamash what we just said. Habirakin habikashin. If it's soft, you can do lekatchila. If it's hard, however, then there's a tikkun kli. So therefore, to do it as a tikkun kli would be awesome. You're not doing it for tikkun kli. All you're doing it is lahariach bay. But at the very least, even though it's not awesome midiraisa, it's going to be aser midirabana. So what comes out is that if you have atzei besamim, which are hard, and you want to chop off the top, the halacha is you can't do it. However, whether it's asam deraisa, asam derabanan, depends. And what it depends on is what your intention is. If you're doing it because you want to smell it, then it's only asam derabanan. If you're doing it because you want to use it as a toothpick, then it's going to be asam deraisa. In other words, if you're doing it because you want to make a keli, it's asam deraisa. If you're doing it not to make a keli, just to smell it, it should be a little more geschmack, then it's asam derabanan. Which means you can have the same exact action, which is sometimes an issah deraisa, and it's sometimes not an issa deraisa, and it makes sense. It's telling your kavan. If your kavan is to make a keli, then it's asam deraisa. If your kavan is not to make a keli, then it's not going to be asam. But at the same time, even when your kavan is not to make a keli, you see it's asam derabanan. Because if you did it lahariach by pater avalasa, pater avalasa means you pater from all the chiyuvim, but at the same time it's aser to do midrabanan. So if you did it to make a keli, asam deraisa. If you did it, it's not asam deraisa, but at the same time, it will be asam deraisa. And it's poshut that the reason it's asam derabanan is because of a gezeira. It's asr because if you did it for the wrong reason, it's asam deraisa. So even for the right reason, don't do it lekatchila. Right? And it's very reasonable. You could see why Chazal would make such a gezeira. The same exact pa'ula, depending on what your kavan is, could be an asam deraisa. So therefore, Chazal said that being that if you do it to make a keli, it's asam deraisa, even if your kavan is not to make a keli, do not do it. And therefore, it would be asam midrabanan. Maska for Rav Acher b'Yaakov. Rav Acher b'Yaakov asked the question on that point. Bekashen amayloi. I understand. Why can't you clip it lahariach boy if it's hard? The reason is, you're telling me, because if you did it to make a keli, it'd be asam midaraisa. See, even not to make a keli, we can say it's a problem. But he had a kasha. Maishnah mihadatan. Why is this different than the following Mishnah? Shoiv rodem asa chavis. A person's allowed to break a chavis. Lachem imen agregis. So someone had dry figs inside a barrel. It was Shabbos. And he didn't have a way to get the figs. So the halacha is he's allowed to break the chavis. You can do it even on Shabbos. This has nothing to do with oichel nefesh. You can do it even on Shabbos. Ubevachlo yischavin lasas keli. You just have to make sure that you're intention is not to make a keli. But if your intention is to make a keli, then you wouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos, because then you just made a keli. That's misakimana. So what do you see from here? That if you do this, meaning you break the chavos with the intention to make a keli, however, if you don't have the wrong kavana, so then it's mutar lekatchila. Why do you make a gzera? It should be pater avalasa. That was the Gemara's kasha. Maskevlo Rav Acher b'Yaakov to take the hard straw and to, or atzei besamim and to clip it lasis keli is asam midiraisa. Therefore, even if your kavanah is only lariach boy, it's fart asam midirabanan. We can't be matter something like katchila. If you do it with the wrong intention, it's going to be asam midiraisa. He said, really? Why is it different than breaking a chavis? Breaking a chavis lechem imeno groigris is mutal katchila. Even though if you do it with the wrong intention, it's asam midiraisa. V'oid Rav Acher b'Yaakov has a tzveita kasha. Rava bar they both said, they both had the same exact report. We once spent Shabbos by Rav Yehuda, and surprisingly, have a mafashich for Yavlon alvasa alvasa. So Rav Yehuda had atzei besamim. So this was like a tree of besamim. It was detached from the ground. That's a very important piece of information. And he would take off. He would literally break branches and give it to them to smell on Shabbos. Now it's not toilish because it wasn't attached to the ground. So this is what he would do. Now they. These branches that he was breaking off can be used as handles for an axe, for a hammer. So why did he do it? The Teretz is because he didn't have a mind to do it that way. So you see that even though if I would do it with the intention of making keli be asam deraisa, but
Likatchila, I'm allowed to do it if that's not my intention. So what's the difference? Why isn't that when it comes to this toothpick where we say that if I want to be koitim el ariach boy, it's awesome the rabbanon, being that if I did it, lakslis by shina would be awesome the rice. So two kashas. Sok to Gemara, and the Gemara is going to answer the second kasha first. Loi kasha. As relates to the second question, you have to say, ha Rabbi Eliezer, ha rabbanon. The Tanya will learn to the brisa. Who's this Rabbi Eliezer and rabbanon? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer said, night to love him, kisim shalom fun of. A person's allowed to take a kisim, a piece of wood that's in front of him, lakslis by shina, to use as a toothpick. This is the same Rabbi Eliezer we had in our Mishnah. The Chachamim, when the Chachamim say, Lo yitel elamei evish al behemah. You're only allowed to take it if it's something that you would feed to a behemah. But otherwise, you're not allowed. The Shavin, this is what we need. Everybody agrees, Shalo yikdemenu, that you're not allowed to clip it. The im kitmoy, and if you did clip it, lachsis by shina of lech be'adelis, if you did it to make a keli out of it, either lachsis by shina of to use as a toothpick, or here we have another example of a keli, use it lefteich by a sadelis, use as a key. Then b'shoigig, b'shabbos, if you did it b'shoigig on Shabbos, chachatos, b'mezit, b'yom. In other words, it's going to be awesome in their eyes. The Chachamim say, that if a person would do this, so you would take atze besam, or you would take a kisei, and you would clip it with the intention of making a keli, all it would be is an issa d'rabbanan. In other words, what we just discovered is that we've been taking for granted that if somebody would take this and clip it, he would be over an issa d'oraisa, if he had in mind to make a keli. But what emerges from this braisa is not everybody agrees with that. It's really machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says that, chum hol not that way. So the Gemara says very gishmak. That's going to explain what Rabbi Yehuda the Amora did. Rabbi Eliezer, the Kama Hasam Chayv Chatos, Rabbi Eliezer said in this braisa that if you do this, you're going to be Chayv Chatos, that if you did, if you broke it with the intention of making keli as a Chayv Chatos, hacha patra avalasa. So therefore he said, if you did a la riach, but it's going to be patra avalasa. So the braisa, the Gemara brought on the top of the omit, coined Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you make this keli with the intention of making a keli, it's an issa d'oraisa. So even if you don't intend to do it, it's going to be awesome with Rabbanan. It makes sense to make a gzeira ato an issa d'oraisa. Aber Rabbanan de ka'amri hasam patra avalaser. But the Rabbanan don't agree with that. They hold that even if you would make a keli, if you would take a kisei, you would take atzei b'sam, you would make a keli out of it, all it would be is an issa d'rabbanan. That's what the Rabbanan just said in this braisa. So hacha mutal katchilo, therefore be mutal katchilo. So Rabbi Yehuda, who had this atzei b'samim tree and he's ripping off branches on Shabbos, why did he do it? Because he held like the Rabbanan. He held that even if he had a mind to make a keli, he had a mind to use it as a handle for an axe, all it would be is asim the Rabbanan. So it's exera that we're not going to make. Rabbi Eliezer that holds an issa d'oraisa, it's a problem. But the Rabbanan holds only issa d'rabbanan, therefore it's not going to be an issue. So that just answered the second question. Again, the braisa had said that if somebody takes atzei b'samim, you clip it with the intention of making a toothpick, asim d'oraisa. If you do it just to smell it a little bit better, la riach bay, asim d'rabbanan. We're making a gzeira atu the issa d'oraisa. We had two kashas. The second kasha, that's what we just answered, was Rav Yehuda's minig was not that way. You're right, because Rav Yehuda held that braisa was going according to Rabbi Eliezer. He held like the rabbanan that there's never an issa d'oraisa, even if you have a mind to make a keli. Therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira. But there was another kasha, the first kasha, going out of order. What was the first kasha? You're allowed to take a barrel that has dried figs in it, and you're allowed to destroy it on Yontif. You just have to make sure that you don't perfect it in a way where you made a keli. But if you're simply doing it to be soisa, to destroy it, the halach is, it's going to be okay. L'chura, if you would make a keli, for sure it would be an issa d'oraisa. So if that's the case, now at the very least, shouldn't it be awesome in the Rabbanon? So what's the kasha? The kasha is, how does the braisa stem with this Mishnah? Now the truth is, we just said that the braisa is Rabbi Eliezer. So maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree with the Mishnah, but the Gemara says, "V'lesli the Rabbi Eliezer had the tan shayver adam asachavas lechem and a groigers who bevatchim lo yischavim lasis kli." Rabbi Eliezer just said, "Don't take datzi b'samim and clip it, even lo riach boy." Because being that if you did it to make with the intention of making keli be awesome midiraisa, now don't do it midirabanan. So same thing over here. Don't take the chavas, destroy it to eat from it b'derech heter because of the concern that maybe you'll do it in a way where your kavana is to make a keli. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi said, Kitanya hi b'mustiki. You have to say, Rabbi Eliezer is going to tell you that braisa is talking about where it was, the Mishnah is talking about where it was glued together. Meaning this chavis wasn't a regular chavis. At this point, this chavis is never going to be subject to Masakin Manam de Raisa. All it was a question of Masakin Manam de Rabbanon. I mean that it's only a question of Masakin Manam de Rabbanon, so there's no reason for the Chachamim to be Geyser. Exhale. So as it relates to Rid, just to keep it light again, and to go back to yesterday's daf for one more short ha'ara, and that is the Gemara on daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis told a fascinating story. Shapsoi Bar Merinos Iklo Lebavel. Shapsoi Bar Merinos was once in Bavel, and he was struggling financially, and he went to the Gevirim in Bavel, and he was asking and pleading for help, and they refused to help him. First, he asked, maybe you can help me find a job. They didn't want to help him. Then he said, maybe you'll give me some food, poshet, so I'll have what to eat. They didn't want to help him. And Shapsoi Bar Merinos was so taken aback by what he felt was achzorius that he said, Hani me'erev rav ka'asa, the unthinkable. He said, I don't believe that these people are Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, V'nosan lecha racham en v'richamcho, and kol amirachim ala briyos biyodua shu mizarish al Avram Avinu. V'cho mi she'enem arachim ala briyos biyodua she'enem mizarish al Avram Avinu, and must be they come from Erev Rav, whatever that means, way above my pay grade. But either way, he said that it can't be these are regular Yidden. Because if they're regular Yidden, they would have a midas harachmanis. We said that, of course, the rest of the story is a Gemara, Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis. It's a very, very long Gemara, and it's based on a very, very long episode that's recounted in Shmuel Beis, related to David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech. But the high level is that the pasuk says, Vayihi Rav Ba'aretz. There was a hunger in the times of David HaMelech. It was Shalish Shanim. It lasted 3 years. Shana Acharei Shana. And it got to the point that it was so bad that David HaMelech was shoyel by the Urim V'tumim. And he asked, he said, please, let us know what we're doing wrong. It's like this. We can go ahead and we can be mesakin. And the Urim V'tumim responded and said as follows. He said, El Shaul, Vel Beis Hadomim, Ala Shehemis Es HaGevoinim. And the Gemara says that it meant two things. The one that we discussed was that he was told that it's related to the fact that Shaul killed the Gevoinim. And the Gemara says Shaul really never killed the Gevoinim, but Shaul killed Noiv Ira Kehanim. Noiv Ira Kehanim used to support the Gevoinim, so that when Noiv Ira Kehanim was out of the picture, the Gevoinim was suddenly starving, and they were ba'aveled in a terrible way, b'derech groma, indirectly, because of the fact that Shaul had killed Noiv Ira Kehanim. And it's because of what Shaul did to the Gevoinim, albeit indirectly, that this is all happening. In other words, David HaMelech was told that if you want this hunger to go away, you have to go to the Gevoinim, and you have to get Slicha u'mechila. Who were the Gevoinim? These were descendants of one of the seven nations, Chivi. They had cut a deal with Yeshua ben Nun that they would be Megayer, and as a result, the lav of Leisachaya Kol Neshama wouldn't apply to them, and they had been living now for a very, very long time, from the times of Yeshua all the way to the times of David HaMelech, and David is told that it's because of the Gevoinim you need a Mechila from them, and if you can get a Mechila, all of this is going to go away. So the pasuk says, "Vayikra Hamelech leGevoinim, Vayoymer Aleihem, Ma Eselochem, Umeh Achaper, Ubarchos Nachlas Hashem." What could I do? Vayoymer laGevoinim, the Gevoinim told him, "Ein lanu kesev v'zavim shalvim beisai. Ein lanu wish. We don't want any money. No, that's not the way this is going to happen. Yutan lanu shiva anoshim mibanav. We want seven of his descendants. Vahikanum Lashem. We want to kill them. We want to hang them. We're going to do this l'shem Hashem l'man yishmu v'yiro." And that's what it's going to make us give you the mechil that you want. And the Gemara says, David didn't want to do that. So David tried, Mifayas, he tried appeasing them. Anything he tried, he couldn't do. Amar, so David HaMelech said, I know that the Bnei Yisrael have three defining characteristics. They're Rachmanim, they're Baishonim, and they're Gomlei Chasadim. He said, Kol sheyesh bo shloisha simanim alalu, roi lehidabek bo umazu. But chol mi she'en bo shloisha simanim alalu, einoi roi lehidabek bo umazu. And David HaMelech said that I hear Gevoinim, we'll work this out, we'll make sure the Rav goes away. But as it relates to you, you're no longer going to be allowed to intermarry together with the Jewish people. Because I see now that you don't have the simonim of Klal Yisrael. Yidin are Rachmanim, Yidin are Baishanim, and Yidin are Goimlei Chasadim. And this is, of course, the background to the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. It's exactly what Shapsoi Bar Merinos said when he saw that the Atirei Bavel had such a Midas Achzorius. He said, it can't be that they're Mizari Shel Avram, because Zari Shel Avram are Rachmanim, and they're Goimlei Chasadim. They're also Baishanim. And he said, must be that they're from the Erev Rav, whatever that means, but it can't be that they're Mizari Shel Avram Avinu. This Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, that's rather lengthy, is mentioned in a Medrash Rab. It's in Parshas Nosai, Parsha Ches Dalet, and over there it's even a lot longer. And there's a lot of hoisafos to the story that I mentioned there that we don't have in our Gemara. One of the hoisafos is that David HaMelech, when he came to the Gevoinim, and he tried getting them to give him a chila, and they refused to. So he said, Klal Yisrael are rachmanim, they're baishanim, they're going to chasadim, etc., etc. So he had no choice, but he said, Ein ruyim elu l'sarev ima, says the Medrash quote. He said, I realize that even though they're gerim, but loy umdu aviseyim al harsina, but their zaydis didn't stand by harsina. They're gerim, I understand. They were magayim. He wasn't questioning the geris. That's not what this was about. He wasn't suddenly going back and saying that maybe the bezdin of Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar Kohen Gadol that had presided over this geris, maybe they made a mistake. That's not what he was saying. What he said was, but afal pi shegerim hey, they are gerim. Aba lo yomdu avayseyim al har sinai, ki al shem knanem ischashvin, and therefore he said, ein elu kamoysam, ein eruyin lidovik b'Yisrael, they do not deserve to be able to intermarry with the Jewish people. I saw in the Seif Goladoif gave a tshuva for Rabbi Uri Tiger Shlita. So this is in Hilchas Tshuva, it's in Perek Beis. And he's discussing the Rambam who talks about the Midah of Rachmanis and how it's the Midah of the Yid to be a Rachman. And he says, therefore, if somebody ba'avul somebody and the person comes and asks him mechila, he should give him the mechila because that's the Midah of a Yid. A Yid is a loyikoim, he's a loyitar. V'zehu darkum shal zeri Yisrael, v'liba in hanachoim. That they grant the mechila, that you look away, and at the end of the day, you give a Yid what it is he wants, even if this person ba'avled you. But Toich Dvarov, in the Biurim Chelik of this Rambam, so he brings this Lashon HaMedrash, and he asks a very obvious question. He says, David HaMelech said, that I see now, as it relates to the Gevoinim, that Afap Yishigerim Heim, even though they were gerim, but the Zaydis didn't stand on Arsina. Says Kashus Pshita, of course. A Ger Tzedek, by definition, is someone who comes from one of the Bnei Noyach. However, it was Nadav Liboy. He decided on his own, Likonis Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. So what did David HaMelech mean? L'shoyne Yazov Shal HaMedrash. That Afal Pi Shegerim Heim, Lo Yomdu Avayseyem Al Arsina. So he says a beautiful pshat, but it requires a tiny bit of an introduction. And that is, Tziodua, there was a very, very famous Ger Tzedek that lived in Vilna, in the 18th century. He was known simply as Avram ben Avram, as the Ger Tzedek. He was a Polish nobleman. His family came from very aristocratic lineage, but he himself had become a Ger. And his mishpacha wasn't happy about what he did. It was considered a major affront to his mishpacha. And as a result, they were roidef him, and eventually they ended up killing him. He died at the age of 49. He was born in the year 1700. He was killed in the year 1749. He died in Vilna. It was on the second day of Shavuos. It's yodua that the Chafetz Chaim, every year on the second day of Shavuos, would tell over stories about the famous Ger Tzedek of Vilna. And the Chafetz Chaim would be very, very nisragish. And a lot of the stories that the Chafetz Chaim would say over came from the Vilna Gaon, based on a Messiah that the Chafetz Chaim had, that the Vilna Gaon, who of course lived in Vilna, who was a younger man at the time, but the Vilna Gaon had a Sheiches with the Ger Tzedek, and there were some incredible stories that the Chafetz Chaim used to say over his Talmidim, every single year on the second day of Shavuos, on the yard side of this Heilige Neshama of the Ger Tzedek of Avram ben Avram. One of the things the Chafetz Chaim used to say was that the Vilna Gaon, who at the time was 28 years old, if you do the math, but the Vilna Gaon called the Ger Tzedek and he told him that if you want, I can get you out of this whole mess by using the Shemus HaKadoshim. She says, if you want it, just say the word, I can take you out. And the Ger Tzedek refused. He said literally what Rabbi Akiva said in Masechtas Brachos Daf Samech Aleph Amid Beis. He said, Kol yamai hayisim mitzar. I used to, my whole life I was waiting to be able to perform the greatest act of Kiddush Hashem. He said, to me, this is the shpitz. There's nothing I could think of that would be a bigger avoidah of Kiddush Hashem than this. And he says, I understand that you, this is something you can do, but it's not something that I want to do. Another thing the Chafetz Chaim used to say is that when the Ger Tzedek was walking literally to be burnt at the stake, so the Vilna Gaon, he passed the Vilna Gaon's house, and the Vilna Gaon opened up his window, and he told the Ger Tzedek, Gei bezrizus. Gei bezrizus. And the Chafetz Chaim said that it was really a very big chiddush lahalacha. And really the Ger Tzedek wasn't sure what to do. And the Vilna Gaon anticipated that he didn't know what to do. And as a result, he was paskening. Because the question was, on the one hand, he was doing a mitzvah. And when it comes to doing a mitzvah, zrizim akdim el mitzvahs. But then again, he also understood that there's an idea of chayisha. And a yid has to be able to live as long as he could. You can't just be ma'abed atzmecha l'das. Maybe you're not letting give up your yichayisha. So he understood that this was something that was going through his mind. So he gave a yell, gave his rizus, the guy in Paskin, that's rizus makdim, the mitzvah was machriya, and he said, you should go bizrizus. But this was the story of the Geret Tzedek, and some of the stories are very, very moving. And Chafetz Chaim himself was very, very moved by the stories of the Geret Tzedek, and he would tell them over every year on the second day of Shavuos. One of the things the Chafetz Chaim used to say was that the Geret Tzedek said that where did it come from that you have Gerim? You have people that they were brought up completely removed from Yiddishkeit, and somehow they have this Ruach Kedusha, this Ruach Tahira, to suddenly join the Jewish people. There has to be a pshat. So the Chafetz Chaim said that the Geret Tzedek used to say, because when Hashem gave the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, he first offered it to the other nations of the world. They rejected it, and as a result, the Yidden were the ones who ended up getting the Torah. But he said it's poshit. Just statistically speaking, there must have been Yechidim in every nation that were really interested in being mekabel the Torah. Nor of us. They were outnumbered. They were outvoted. And as a result, they ended up not getting it. But he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not mekapeach schar kol berio berio. And he said, any person that said Nasav and Ishma, even if he was a Yochid and he was outnumbered by the majority of his nation, but he at some point would have the schus to be able to enter Klal Yisrael. And the way he entered Klal Yisrael was by his neshama coming back and be reincarnated in the form of this Geret Tzedek. And he said, all the Geret Tzedek were the reincarnation of people, of neshamas, of umois that were not zoich to be mekabel the Torah, but really themselves wanted to be mekabel Torah. This is what the Chafetz Chaim used to say over in the name of the Geret Tzedek. The truth is that this idea predates the Geret Tzedek. In fact, the Mabit in his Beis Elokim, in Shara Yesoides and Perik Nun Aleph, says word for word what the Chafetz Chaim used to say over in the name of the Geret Tzedek. And really, if you look around in the Achroinim, this is an idea that comes up in different raid contexts as well. The Chidah in Pesach Inayim, Mesach Tesivam Estaf Memches, that's in the Sugi of Geiris. So the Chidah says, everyone knows the Chazal, Ger Shenes Gayer, Kikotin Shenayladam. You freak the Chidah, Ger Shenes Gayer? It's Goyshen is Skyer, Kikotin Shanay Ladami. The Ger is not Megayer. He becomes a Ger after he's Megayer. So what's Gershen is Skyer, Kikotin Shanay Ladami? We've heard that line 1,000 times. It's such a posh tahara. Gershen is Skyer, it's Akum Shen is Skyer. Why is it Gershen is Skyer, Kikotin Shanay Ladami? So the Chidah said that Yesh Loimer, Kifia Mefur, Besfar Makdoshim. This idea that every single Ger, Etzem was Megayer back in the day. He said Nasav and Ishma when the Torah was offered to his nation. It just so happens he was a minority vote. And as a result, he got outnumbered. But it comes out to some level, some madreig of Geirus that was already Chalven. So now when he comes to be Megayer, even Begoyusoy, no, he's already under a certain Neshama. This is an Neshama that was put into him when he was born, literally, with a Nitzitz of Kedusha. So he's a Gershon Eskayer. He's not a Gershon Eskayer. He's a Gershon Eskayer. He says, that's Pshat in the Gemara over there in Mesachtes Yevamos, Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, where the Gemara discusses why sometimes you find Gerim that suffer from certain things, and the Gemara says, what's the reason for it? Acherim Oimrim, Rameir, who by the way came from Gerim, he came from Nero Kesar. Acherim Oimrim, Acherim said, because there's a taina on the Ger. Why did it take you so long to be Megayer? Freitach, he does a taina on the Ger? That he did it. What does it have to do? How could there possibly be a taina on the Ger? He says, because the Teretz says, because the Ger was born a Ger. He was born with a Ruach Kedusha, and it was understood that this was his destiny, because he comes from those Neshamas that said Nasav and Ishma. So maybe on some level we could have a shtickle of taina on how he was able to do this. Another place where this Yisoid appears is in the Gilyonei Ashas from Agoin Rabbi Yosef Engel. And this is in his Gulyoni Ashas, the Masechtes Psachim, Dav Zayin. There, the Gemara talks about the bracha that you make on tefillah. And the Gemara, you make the bracha over Lasayasan, before, after, there's a Taisviz there, Dav Zayin, Amid Beis, the Masechtes Psachim. And Rabbi Yosef Engel asks Akasha, he says, I understand, how could a ger make a bracha? Ashekid Ishanu b'mitzvaysav, v'tzivanu? Tzivanu what? On the tefillah, on the geris? There's no Vitzivanu on the Geirus. He doesn't have an obligation to be a Geir. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, this Yisoid. He says the Teretz is not true. A Ger Tzedek does have an obligation. And the Haraya, the Gemara in Yevam, is Daf Mem Ches, where the Gemara says that there's a taina on the Ger Tzedek, why it took him so long in order to be Megayer. And the reason is because a Ger is a Gershenes Geyer. He's not a Goshenes Geyer. He's a Gershenes Geyer because he has this Ruach Kedusha. He says some major lumdas here of Yosef Engel, not for now, but he says that even though Gershenes Geyer is Kekot and Shenoyla Dami, that's only the Chelik of the Ger that's not a Yehudi. But the chelik of the ger that was born a Yehudi, on that there's no kikot and shenoy l'dami. It actually manifests itself in the lumdis of kikot and shenoy l'dami. He says the kikot and shenoy l'dami, this is classic Rabbi Yosef Engel, needs to be carved out. There's a dichotomy. There's a chelik of the ger that's a goy shenes geyer. The goy shenes geyer is kikot and shenoy l'dami. But the chelik that's the ger shenes geyer, ironically, that's not kikot and shenoy l'dami. Ayin shama the goyoni ashas. But either way, this is the aside. The aside is that all the geirim really, they're sharashim b'ktusha. The geirim said nasav and ishma, just like the yidden said nasav and ishma. It just so happens they were outnumbered. The yidden was fayichan sham yisrael ke'ish echad b'lev echad, and they all said nasav and ishma. Oh, they said nasav and ishma ke'ish echad b'lev echad. So therefore they got the Torah. But by the umay sa'olam, there were yechidim that did, and those yechidim ended up coming back. So Uri Tigre said a davar nifla. He said it comes out that the neshama of the geir is be'etzem a nishmas Yisrael. It's a nishmas Yisrael. He doesn't get the nishmas Yisrael when he's megayer. He's born with the nishmas Yisrael. All the neshama stood at Har Sinai, which is mashma l'chayra, that even the neshama of the ger stood at Har Sinai. That's what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech said, he's handling with the gevoinim. They were gerim. But he realized something was off. He said, "Ein ruyim elu li'sarev imon." Because afal pisha gerim him, I know the gerim. Abaloy amdu alisem al Har Sinai. These can't be from the gerim of the Ger Tzedek. It can't be from the gerim of the Mabit. Can't be from the gerim of the Chidon, Rabbi Yosef. Can't be. Because any neshama that stood at Har Sinai is rachmonim by shonim and goyim lechasadim. And they don't have those midos. So the geris are geris. I can't abolish the geris. Aloch is aloch. We makabel the gerim. Open the panemius of gerim. These are not gerim. And because they're not gerim, he said, I'm going to make a takana, and that's going to be the gzer. The gzer is going to be enel ruyan lesarim, and therefore the nesinim alayavi b'kal Hashem. And that's why in Metz Hashem, when we learn Nashim Nezikin, in the not too distant future, the Nashim comes together with the mamzer. What do you mean? Why is he not royal lovi b'kal Hashem? The teretz is because it's true he was megayer in halacha, but in primius he wasn't megayer. Because the sight of geiris is the neshama stood at Har Sinai, and he was able to tell David HaMelech, beruach kotshoy, from the fact that they were not rachmanim b'ashonim and goyim l'chasadim, that must be they never stood at Har Sinai. We'll just end with this. If you go through the Medrash, as mentioned, there's a lot of different shinuyim, hisophis really, between the Gemara and Perek Ha'aril and the Medrash. One of the hisophis is Omar David. David said, ba'os hashah, Shalosh matanos nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people three gifts. Rachmanim b'ishanim and goyim l'chasadim. L'shoyne azov shal ha-medrash. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says there's shlosha simonim b'Yisrael. The Yidden have three defining character traits. The lashon of the medrash is shalosh matanos nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The Yidden are rachmanim b'ishanim and goyim l'chasadim. It's a matana, it's a gift. The fact that Yidden are rachmanim, the fact that we're baishanim and goyim lechasanim is the biggest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Why is it a gift? Because that is the essence of Klal Yisrael. That is what makes Klal Yisrael different. That's the secret to the family of the Yid. It's the secret to all the chesed that goes on amongst Klal Yisrael. It's the reason we've been able to survive our galus. Because the rachmanis, the edelkeit, the sensitivity to children, to parents, to grandchildren, to grandparents, to our neighbors, to someone that's struggling, to someone that's going through something. This is what makes Klal Yisrael. And the fact that we're rachmanim by shonim and goyim lechasadim, it's not just simonim. It's matonois, this sholesh matonois that we're nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. But on a deeper level, through the fact that we're rachmanim, kol merachim al abriyas, merachim al of merashamayim. Like we spoke from the time of the Vayir, that when we're rachmanim, bashanim, agam il chasadim, we're tapping into the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're living up to the tzelem and the demos, and that's the nasa adam etzalmenu on the highest level. But the fact that the yidden are rachmanim, bashanim, agam il chasadim, that's not just a simen. That's a matana. Shalish matanois nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. And the truth is, this is mamish devart that we spoke out yesterday. from the Sefer Achayim, from Chaim Reb Tzalom Friedberg, Achi Agadol Shel Amaral. He said, Halos Hashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu, call all the nations of the world. They all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rightfully so. When we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hallelu of Klal Yisrael is a Hallelu for Kigavar. And what's Gavar? Goimle Chasadim, Baishonim, and Rachmanim. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. Why? Because it's a Matana. And if it's a Matana, it's something you say thank you for. So Hallelu is Hashem Kol Goyim Shabchu Kol Umim. But when we're Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just for the fact that we were created, but we're Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that we have Shalosh Matanos, that only we have. It's true, they're simonim, but they're also matanas. And that's the ki govar aleinu chazle. This is the greatest chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. It's the fact that we as a nation, we have this special midah that we're rachmanim, baishanim, and goyim lechasan.